God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our text for tonight comes from Luke chapter 5, our gospel reading, verse 27 through 32. Here in this wonderful reading, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, probably commits the cardinal sins, so to speak. Not necessarily from God's point of view, but from the religious leader's point of view. He eats with sinners. Not only just any particular sinner, but a tax collector at worst. Now, I will admit probably most of us in American society don't have a great love for the IRS, but this is more than just the tax collecting service. You have to understand a little bit of the Jewish nuance here. When the Romans came and they invaded, and of course then they had to collect their tax, they didn't want their own people doing it and being put at risk, so to speak, so they sort of hired Jewish people to do this. And so Jews, their own people, were collecting taxes. And of course, anyone who didn't like the Romans, of course, didn't like the tax collectors. And then there was probably another nuance to this. It was the tax collector who determined the rate. So if you looked like you were a rich and wealthy person, you had to pay a higher tax. And if you weren't so wealthy, you would have to pay a lower tax. And there was probably a wonderful sheet of information that says, you know, if you make this much money, you can collect this much tax. But only the tax collectors had that information. You can kind of guess what happened. Most tax collectors then wanted to collect more, you know, help pad their pockets, help make up for all the hatred that their brothers and sisters around them now bestowed upon them. And so here comes Jesus, and he comes up to Levi sitting there at the tax collector booth. And what does he say? He says, "Follow me." And so Levi gets up and follows Jesus. And then Levi says, "Okay, I'm going to have a great banquet for you at my place." Now, there's also another little nuance here we have to take a look at, and that is who you eat with. Because in the society back then, a good way of putting it is you ate with your social group. Again, the religious leaders at that time, they would only eat with certain people. They wouldn't eat with the other common people, so to speak. They would only eat with people who would sort of elevate them or encourage them or help them out in life. And so if you weren't willing to provide something for these religious leaders, they weren't going to come to dinner. Quite the opposite, they would avoid you. So now we have, going back to our text, they would see Jesus, they would understand, yet yes, he is a teacher of God's word. They saw the miracles, I should say. They definitely valued him, but now what is he doing? He's eating with sinners, with a tax collector. And they're scratching their heads and saying, "This just doesn't make sense." So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to the disciples, "Why do you eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" And I love Jesus' response here. "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Just to unpack that statement, Jesus definitely now has set the tone. We may remember with the healing of the paralytic, that Jesus said, you know, "Your sins are forgiven." And the religious leaders got all upset about that and said, "Okay, fine, what's easier to say? Take your mat and go home, or your sins are forgiven, but that you may know I have power. Take up your mat and go home." And he went home. But he attached the forgiveness of sins there. The religious leaders didn't have a clue what was going on. But now let's take a look at this banquet. Let's take a look at what's happening here. Here we have God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us, God who is taking on flesh and blood, now eating at a table. Now, what would happen if God invited himself to your house? What would be one of the first things you would do? Would you be shocked? Would you be in awe? Would you hurry up and clean up the house? Would you dust off that Bible and make sure that it looked like it was read regularly? How would you react if the Son of God was going to come and join you for dinner? Would you not have a great deal of pride and honor? Well, it may sound a little far-fetched, so let's make it a little bit more realistic. This happened to a friend of mine when I was in seminary. He was a fellow classmate of mine. Because of his background, he received a special invitation in the mail. It was from the White House. He was going to have he was invited for dinner with the president. And his first reaction was, he felt a little intimidated. And he's like, well, I don't think I want to go. Fortunately, he discussed this with some of his friends. As his friends looked at him and said, wait a minute, you don't turn down a dinner invitation by the President of the United States of America. Whether you voted for him or not is irrelevant. This is just, you show respect to the office. You give the honor that's due. Fortunately, he listened to the advice of his friends, and he went. And he said he had a great time, and he came back, and he was all full of joy and going, I'm glad I went, I'm glad I went. And we were all sitting there going, we're glad you went also. Because the thumb your nose at the president would be, you know, not respectful, at least not to a normal citizen of the United States of America. But then likewise, how do you react if you go to the president's house? Do you thumb your nose at him and say, oh, is this all you're serving? Do you sit there and say, well, I didn't vote for you and I didn't like you? Do you sit there and complain about all the bad decisions this president has made and how you could have made better decisions? No, as an invited guest, you would come and say everything very politely, very encouraging. You would do a lot of listening. Fortunately, and my friend also did that. The reason why I want to sort of combine the two here and kind of do a little bit of an explanation why we sang an Advent hymn to begin our worship service is, who are we talking about who came to dinner? The person who came to dinner for Levi was the Son of God, God incarnate, the God who loves and cherishes each and every one of us. What a wonderful honor! Notice our opening hymn, the King shall come. Yeah, it was sort of to whet your appetite here, to prepare yourself for the coming King. The King has now come to his life. He has now sat down and had dinner with him. Now, Jesus also did something else. Usually when he had dinner, there was always a wonderful teaching opportunity. Wherever he went, he proclaimed the word of God, and especially at dinner, he would then teach, he would talk, he would proclaim God's word, and the people around him would be in awe about God's word and going, wow, we haven't heard this before. And so now we have our Lord and Savior, God incarnate, among Levi and his friends, teaching God's word, bestowing God's love and his forgiveness. And the religious leaders on the outside, very jealous, complaining, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now Jesus answer. Those who are sick need a doctor. Those who are sinners need a Savior. That's the key here. Jesus did not want to go to the people who had no use for a Savior, but came to save all people. I'm sure there were some people at that table of Matthew's friends who did not believe in Jesus' words, but out of respect, you know, they still listened. But Matthew, Levi, listened. He was called by God to be one of the disciples. Called and he listened, and he probably cherished the forgiveness of sins that Jesus brought to him at that dinner meal. The reason why I'm sort of setting up this whole banquet, you could say, very well and elevating our host to the proper honor that he deserves is, when was the last time you were invited to a special dinner hosted by someone in extreme honor, extreme power, and extreme glory? I've never been invited to the president's house, never to the White House. My friend was, and I'm a little jealous, but that's okay. I may never be invited. That's fine also. But now I'm talking about even a higher power. Because later on in our service, we are invited to a dinner. Not necessarily a potluck after church. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Where God himself is present. In with and under the bread and the wine. Notice again, for the same concept, for the forgiveness of sins. For sinners who are sick, who need that healing. For sinners who need that miracle in their lives. And it's here. Christ's body and blood, physically, bodily present, with the bread and the wine. We are at this dinner whenever we come up to the Lord's table, whenever we partake of the very true body and blood, bread and wine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are at that dinner. It's for the same concept, the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of our faith. God Himself is with us. But how do we approach the Lord's Supper? Do we approach it as, oh, it's an extra 10 minutes added to the service? Do we sit there and go, oh, I guess we got 10 more minutes. I guess I'll go up there. Do we critique the wine? Do we critique the wafers? Do we just go through the routine because this is the way we always done it? Sort of like passing the offering plates after the sermon. That's what happens. After the offering plates, we start setting up for communion. Or do we truly understand that more is going on here? Do we truly understand that we are being honored with God's presence at a special dinner where we hear God's word and feast on the forgiveness of sins? Do we have that kind of awe and respect when we come up to the Lord's table? Or do we just realize that it's just part of the service? I will admit, when Trinity voted to have the Lord's Supper offered at every worship services, one of the cons I had in the back of my mind is, I hope and pray the people don't lose sight of how important this meal is. I hope and pray that as we do it on a regular basis, that they grow in that faith, enjoy that forgiveness of sins, and not just think of it as part of the service, just like the offering, but they come to cherish Christ's body and blood and the bread and wine for their own strength, for their own feeding. Yes, we come, why? Because we are the sick ones. We are the ones in need of the doctor. We are the ones that need to be healed. And so one of my common phrases I like to say is, the church is for sinners. If you haven't sinned, don't come to church. And if you haven't sinned, don't come to the Lord's table. Because it is here where the forgiveness of sins is handed to you. It is here that the forgiveness of sins and Christ Himself is there. There's more going on than just part of the service. This is for your benefit, for your healing, for your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, there are some who didn't understand, and notice, where were they? The religious leaders, they were outside complaining, saying, why does He eat with sinners? The answer to that is, that's who needs our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is also one of the reasons why we put a restriction on who does come to the table. Tonight, as I'm mostly speaking to our members and fellow Lutherans, we don't have that many guests. But typically on Sunday, you know, when we do get guests, that's why we have this communion statement. It says we don't want just anyone coming to the Lord's table, but those people who truly understand that, yes, there is forgiveness of sins, those people who truly understand that, yes, this is God Himself present at this meal. Those people who truly need that healing, that strength, that repent, who need to repent of their sins. Remember, Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If that's you, then you've come with the right reason. As I was taught in my confirmation classes, in preparation to the Lord's Supper, you ask yourself three questions. Do I truly recognize my sinfulness, that I am a sinner? Do I look to Jesus as my Savior for the forgiveness of my sins? And am I willing, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to amend my sinful life? Those questions prepare us for that special dinner in which God Himself is present. Just as my classmates and I helped prepare my friend for meeting the president and having dinner with him, there is that preparation that needs to take place as we come to the Lord's table. There's more than just going on and just eating and drinking. This is Christ's body and blood, the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of our faith. Now, I'm not saying that every time that Jesus sits down with a bunch of sinners, He's celebrating the Lord's Supper, but there's a lot of parallels, a lot of connections here between what Jesus did with Levi and the fellow sinners, and what Jesus still does with us and our fellow sinners around us. He offers himself. He gives of himself freely for our strength, our forgiveness, and to be assured of a place to be with him in heaven above. So this evening, we come to the Lord's table. We come knowing that we are sinners who are sick. In repentance, we come before the Lord saying, Lord, forgive me, strengthen me, and help me to do better. Give me your Holy Spirit to amend my sinful life. Yes, we have fallen short of God's glory. We have sinned. We freely admit this already in the confession and absolution of sins. And now we're going to join together in a meal prepared by our Lord and Savior himself for your benefit. We come here this evening because, as our sermon hymn said, we have grieved God's heart. So we come here accepting his love, accepting his forgiveness, and allowing him to strengthen our lives. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.